Okay, Mom, it's back to school time, and this year, I'm going to be ready for it. Because now I can save $200 on a Microsoft Surface 3 tablet when I get a Lumia smartphone on AT&T Next.
$200? That's great! As a college student, you could really use that. Does this mean no more living off microwavable noodles?
Let's not get ahead of ourselves. With this deal, balancing my responsibilities will be easier than ever.
The Surface 3 would be perfect for downloading textbooks. It's the tablet that can pretty much replace your laptop.
And I can use the Windows phone to keep up with friends.
Sounds like you'll finally be ready for whatever the school year throws at you.
Like when I go to the grocery store, I get everything I need for the coming week. Teriyaki noodles, beef noodles, and don't forget seafood noodles.
Okay, sure. If that's the best analogy you've got.
Save $200 on a Microsoft Surface 3 when bundled with any Lumia smartphone on AT&T Next. AT&T, mobilizing your world.
Limited time offer select locations includes Microsoft Surface 3 64GB only. Microsoft Surface 3 requires 2-year agreement. Must activate wireless service on both devices. Early termination, activation, or upgrade and other fees, charges, and restrictions apply. See your participating store for all for details.
Clap your hands for Angela.
Hello, everyone. You're listening to Shelf Talk with Angela Butler. I am, of course, Angela Butler. Tonight's guest is King Vivian. Did I pronounce it right?
Yes.
He is the owner of a record label in Tallahassee, Florida called Cityside Records. His albums have went gold and platinum. How are you doing, King Vivian?
Doing great.
Oh, that's wonderful. Wonderful. So, how did you get your start with the record label? And your own singing and rapping that you do?
Well, I grew up listening to music when my mother was into her 45s records. A lot of people don't know what those are. Some do. I used to listen to her play her music all the time. And, you know, then my brother was getting ready to go to the military, and he used to have albums of different rap songs. So I used to like rap when I was younger. So when he went off to the military, his albums was left at the house. So I would still be listening to Mama's music, but I would be listening to his albums too from Mama's record player when she go to work. So, you know, I started to have a passion for the music. And that's pretty much how I began to love it. But later on, I couldn't come out the house, you know, like most kids, and play. So I was stuck in the house.
Why were you stuck in the house?
Well, you know, the neighborhood we was in, you know, crack cocaine had came in the neighborhood real heavy. And Mama just wanted to keep us safe. So, you know, she kept us inside. She was letting us come on the porch. And, you know, that worked out fine. Because, you know, since I couldn't get to know anyone, I had to find something else to do while I was in the house. So I became a DJ. I started just playing music on tapes and recording songs, putting the albums that I did have on tapes. I wasn't giving them to anyone, but then I heard these other DJs in the same city as I was. They was real popular. So I heard them playing them. And so I was wondering who these guys were. So I said, okay, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to do what these guys do. But when I came out, you know, pretty much dissing them, you know, pretty much talking down on the other DJs. And I gave out the tapes for free. And once I did that, within a week, everyone in the whole city knew me. Tallahassee's got a population of about 250,000 people. So I became popular just from that one mixtape that I did. And after then, I just started doing it and making money. The drug dealers was coming, giving me money, and that's where I really got my big start right there.
Okay, the drug dealers. All right. You're the first person I ever heard say that. So you started off, I assume, doing regular rap. What I call regular rap?
Yeah, I used to, you know, from the DJing, you know, I used to hear all this rapping. And then later on, I started just rapping, you know, in middle school. It was like the elementary, middle school rapping. You know, you'd be in the hallways talking, but you'll be rapping too. They used to have these things that used to be battle raps. But I wasn't involved in that. I just do it as a hobby. And, you know, I got serious about it. So kind of mixing the DJ and then the rapping together, you know, later on, then I started my own label. Since I was a DJ, and with DJing, you got skills to do certain things. So that plays right in part with the rapping, like engineering, mixing, producing, and that's pretty much how that happened.
Okay, but at what point in your life did you decide to go gospel or Christian music?
Well, always had a dream to be a big-time rapper or a big-time DJ. But that never happened. Always was working minimum wage jobs and just felt like I could never get out. So, you know, someone introduced me to Christ some years ago. First, my brother, older brother, was into church. And he used to come home and tell me that was a demons on me while I was sleeping, you know. And I'm thinking this guy was crazy. So that kind of scared me away from the church because, you know, he was coming in and he would do all this shouting and praising. I didn't know it was praising God, but that's what he was doing. He got rid of all his rap tapes that he had, and I found that to be strange. And I was like, if something want to make me get rid of all my tapes I spent money on, I don't want to be where you at. And that was just my mentality of thinking. But later on, I got introduced to a church. I was dating this woman that I met at a restaurant I used to work at. And I wanted to take her out on a date. And she was like, well, you got to ask my mom. So I talked to her mom. And then her mom was like, yeah, you can take her on a date. So I came over to the house to take her on a date. But the whole family was dressed. And I didn't know what was going on. So I got in the van with them. And we was going to a revival, a three-day revival. And so it was always on my heart to come to God, but I just thought it was just me thinking. I didn't know it was the Holy Spirit speaking to me. So, like on the third day, the pastor said, this young man, he wants something. I mean, in the middle of his sermon, he just stopped and said, this young man wants something. So, you know, he called me up and he asked me, what did I want? And I told him, I said, I want to be saved. So then he told me to know, drop down on my knees and call on Jesus, and that's where that journey began. That was in 1999, 2000. But then in 2000, I backslid for 7 years. So I was back in the world doing whatever secular people do and still DJing, listening to the secular music. But in 2007, I wound up meeting another young lady that got me back in the church, and we went to Chicago, and we did a musical, something like a musical, but okay. It was still different pastors, women pastors that are preaching. And when they actually stand up and give our testimony, they got to me and I told them about my testimony of, you know, in 2004, I was going to take my life. And this was over a woman. So, you know, they called me up, they prayed over me, and when they sent me to sit back down, one of the evangelists called me back up and told me that the devil is not going to get a hold of me. And she told me when I get back to Tallahassee to meet God halfway. So when I came back, I told God in my recording studio, I said, God, I surrender. Whatever you want me to do, I will do. And so after then, I started doing music ministry, doing Christian rap, and I never turned around after that.
Wonderful, wonderful. What a wonderful testimony. Yes, wonderful testimony. You had thought about taking your life, or you were going to take your life in 2004?
Yeah, I was going to because, you know, I'm diabetic. So me being diabetic, I said, well, that's the easy way I can pretty much kill myself. So I said, well, I just insert bleach into the syringe and then kill myself. So I text my brother, mother, and my one of my best friends, a couple of my best friends, I told them what I was going to do. And one of the guys was like, man, you going to let a woman cause you to take your life? You know, I was like, you know, I feel like I'm a loser. So, because I had six kids, and I wasn't married to none of the mothers, the three children mothers. So the last one, you know, she kind of turned her back on me, so I felt like I was a failure. So that was like the last move. I said, I don't want to go on to another woman with six kids, and because I was like, who wants a man with six kids? So, you know, I just felt like my life should end it. But then it took, you know, my auntie, my mom, and my brother tried to stop me. And my oldest brother, he's one of the investors in Cityside Records who helped launch it in 1999. So he came over. He couldn't stop me. My mom couldn't change my mind. My aunt couldn't. And even my first children's mother came over, and I still didn't change my mind. But what it took was an old friend from middle school to come and say, Steve, a woman is not worth it, you know. And he was pretty much straddling the fence. He wasn't all the way in God like he should have been. But you knew who God was. So he said, man, what you need to do is find you a hustle. And that one word stuck out. And, you know, after then, you know, I tried to still work at some temp jobs, but that wasn't working. You know, I had lost my job based on me being depressed over that woman. And I couldn't get back on my feet after that. So I found a new friend who was engaged to my cousin, one of my cousins. And he had a business. He had just got out of jail. And he needed someone to take him around to his clients' homes to detail vehicles. He had a mobile detailing, professional mobile detailing business. So I told him I'd do that. He said he'd give me half the business. So I agreed. We shook on it and started doing it. But some down the line was telling me that this guy was using me. So near half, closer to the end, I didn't know it was the Holy Spirit, but it was telling me you need to start making flyers and finding new clients for yourself. So me not knowing it was the Holy Spirit, I did it anyway. And just for sure, he cut all ties with me. He was using me to get a car. But since I listened to the Holy Spirit, I had a business to fall upon, and that's where the professional car detailing business had started. And that pretty much saved my life because, you know, I was making a lot of money for the first time, didn't have to work minimum wage anymore. And with that, I expanded into the music, putting money into the music.
Around how many customers do you have?
I have 400 clients right now. It went from zero to 200 within 3 months, and then within 5 months, it was at 500. But a couple of those 100, well, 100 of them trickled down to 400, you know. They're not always going to stay the same and consistent, but there's something you have to fight and work on to get consistent with, you know, keep your client list up. But that business did a lot for me. And that's one reason why I haven't got rid of it today, because it reminds me of where God took me from.
That, yes, I know. I imagine God wants you to keep that because that's your blessing.
Right, right.
That's one of your
blessings. Yeah, open the doors for a lot of other things.
Yeah, I understand that. You got to meet people, too.
Right.
Okay. So what advice would you give to an up-and-coming artist who would like their own record label, a record company like you, like Cityside Records from Tallahassee, Florida? What advice would you give to them about how to get started and what not to do?
Well, with any label, you know, because I don't, my nephew just started a record label called Dodo Entertainment. And, you know, my wish for him is to do Christian rap, but everyone has to crawl before they walk. Even my record label wasn't a gospel label before it started. When it started, so just have to crawl, you know, let the Holy Spirit lead you. That's the first thing I'll say to anybody. If you don't believe in God, then you got to ask yourself, who you doing it for? So first, know who you serve. That's the first step. Because if you're just doing it to entertain the world, then you're doing it for Satan. But if you're doing it to inspire people and make a living for yourself and your families, then you're pleasing God then. So, you know, after that, my advice would be research the industry that you're going in. If it's rap, research that. if it's gospel, rap, research that, whatever it may be, make sure you research everything, the ups, the downs, the history of it, and then, you know, get some advice from some other people as well about their experience starting their label, and then compile all those and put those together. One thing I would say is, you know, don't try to focus on just one style, one genre, you know, because like my label, we do gospel jazz, we do gospel rap, we do gospel, you know, we do gospel poetry, and we do gospel news. So, you know, with all those, you know, when one is not doing good, the other do good. I always looked at it like the stock market. When one thing don't do good, the other will or might. So you got to pretty much deal with more than one type of thing, because you got to be able to reach all audiences for your label to have the name that it should have or trying to have.
Okay, I understand. So you have Platinum and Gold albums, well, CDs. Would you like to talk about your Gold and Platinum albums?
Sure. Well, first, the first Gold one was from a song that we did 2 years ago called Need You Now by Boaz and Ruth. And that one went gold from sales, street sales, online sales, and also this new thing they have in the music industry called streaming and track equivalent sales. So if the song is played 1,500 times, if it's played 150 times, then that's one sale. So with so many plays, it starts to add up to sales, and that's what majority got us to go with that record. It was played on Pandora, YouTube, and Spotify. So, and then after that one went gold, you know, we had other singles that moved 10,000, 100,000 units. So we compiled all those, and for the label itself, we are a platinum label. We had moved over 1 million units. So that's how we went platinum there. Kind of like Cash Money, you know, they moved over 500 million singles.
Do you mind if I play one of your songs, just a little bit of it?
Sure.
Are you okay with Heaven or Hell, or do you have a different one you'd like me to play?
The one that you have is fine.
You know, man, okay. I'm on this album right now. In the studio, and I'm telling y'all part of my life, you know what I'm saying? Things that went on in the last couple years, you know what I'm saying? We done sold our millionth single, you know what I'm saying? So we done sold a million records, you know what I'm saying? We got our gold and platinum plaques for that, you know what I'm saying? The crew building, you know what I'm saying? Some faithful people that can, you know what I'm saying, dedicate themselves to the ministry and the Lord's work, you know what I'm saying? And be trustworthy, you know what I'm saying? Because in my past, man, I had some fake ex-wives that claimed they were the ones, and it was all about money and trying to bring me down and tear me down and tear this ministry down, you know what I'm saying? I'm telling you, man, it's crazy. You know what I'm saying? We got to be careful out there. You know what I'm saying? I had a lot of people I was helping and spent thousands of dollars on, you know what I'm saying, to help their ministries out. And they went and lied and listened to people who was lying because they were the person was playing.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Trying to bring the king down. You know what I'm saying? As long as you're a king up under the king, or even a queen up under the king, they can't do nothing to you, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, and that's true, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, I even had people who ain't even of the same Christian religion, you know what I'm saying? And God forgive me, I can't call it a Christian faith or religion, because it's not. It's a faith, it's a belief in you through the Son of Jesus Christ, who shed precious blood for us on the cross, you know what I'm saying? So, you know what I'm saying? I even had other people from other religions, you know what I'm saying, come to me and try to get me out of character, you know what I'm saying?
Okay, you know what I'm saying? I hope it turned out right. I was playing Heaven or Hell by you.
Right.
Okay, did you write that yourself?
Well, I did. I produced the music, wrote the music, and it's really no lyrics. It's just really me giving a testimony in that track. That's from the recent album that I just released called Trap Tide. And on the album, I was introducing another artist called Flyby, who actually helped me out with the album. But, yeah, that song there was pretty much giving my testimony about where I've been and how there are snakes in the grass. You know, while you're doing what you're doing, you always got to keep your eyes open, you know, especially in this gospel. There's a lot of people that say they call God, but they're not. So I was just pretty much giving my testimony, sharing with people, letting them know that this is not just a road that we can just go down in God and think there's not going to be things that happen to us or jealous type people that are coming in your life and try to hold you back. Because, you know, Satan and his angels are always busy trying to, you know, knock you off course.
Okay. All right. So did you recently make a song about the kidnapped little girls in Africa, continent Africa?
Yeah, it's called Lord Bring Back Our Girls. And that one just went gold in Kenya. And we're still promoting it. Not really trying to be too focused on it going platinum or anything, but to help get the girls back by increasing the parents who lost their kids' faith. Because a lot of them don't know God like that. So we're trying to tell them, well, if you get in God, then you can have faith by believing in him that the kids will come back. And he'll definitely bless you from that, you know. But one thing I didn't learn is in that country, they said they don't believe that Nigeria can get their kids back, their girls back. But it's really them who it falls upon, their faith in God. Because man's just man. The Word of God says, you know, don't trust in man. So, you know, you got to put your belief in God. But I found out that, you know, even the state of the country of Nigeria don't even support it, like they're saying. When it came down to the song and the support on social networks, they're really not doing what they need to do. Social network is a platform that can reach a wide audience of people, and they're not utilizing it like they should. You know, if you type in #BringBackOurGirls, your only thing you'll see is pretty much something from me and my camp promoting it. And you might have some more that's doing it, but in Nigeria, no.
So, are you accepting artists now?
We are accepting artists, but the artists that we accept have to know what type of label we are. We're first and foremost we are a label, but we are a ministry. And it's God's business, not our business. So, you know, they have to know that when they come in, that they're going to be trained on pretty much how to be a leader in this industry and win souls through music. So they're pretty much ministers in training / artists.
Okay. All right. So you said you're accepting artists, but you want people to know they want to be on your record label as a ministry.
Right, correct.
No harm in that. Matter of fact, that's a godly thing to do.
Right. Because God always should come first, no matter what you do.
Yes, that's true. That's true. So how does your family feel about the success that you now have? Your mother, your dad, your brothers and sisters? I mean, you said you had a brother who had a record album or something like that. No, it was your nephew.
Yeah, my nephew watched me do the music thing for so long. Even when he was a kid, he watched me. So he was inspired by it. And he said he was inspired. So he got his motivation and inspiration from me. And I told him, I said, I just wish he would do gospel, but I understand that everybody got to crawl before they walk. But my family support me. You know, but again, when you see certain ones in your family reach out because they think you're rich and you got money in the bank to give away, that's all they want. They should rejoice with you if they really of God. but many don't. Not saying all, but some do. And some try to tell you what to do with your money. So, you know, sometimes you have to keep a distance from certain family and certain friends. Because even the Word of God says that a prophet is not welcome in his own home. It also states his next of kin in his own country. So, you know, just got to be careful with that and keep your eyes open. Because they're going to give you the true respect. They're going to rejoice with you, like God's word says.
Right. Thanks. So that's pretty well answered to my question. So do you have, besides the record studio and the car wash, what else would you like to tell the listening audience about? Like if they want to get in touch with you, they want to sign on to your record label. I don't advise to give your phone number out, but if you have an email address that you'd like to give out.
Well, the best thing I can tell them is this. If you Google King's Trevion or Google Cityside Records, it will come up, and you can let the Holy Spirit lead you on what to read. Because like I said, you always want to do your research before you get involved with any industry. Or even if you want to get involved with a person, I think you should Google them and research them. So what it does is it keeps the door open for them to do their own research. And you can find my direct number on there, or you can find the email addresses. You know, we ain't too hard to find.
They can Google you and let the Lord lead them. Prayer.
Right.
So when you decided to make Cityside Records, which is in Tallahassee, Florida, a record label that was a ministry and gospel, what made you want to do that? What was the change? What in your life changed?
Well, it was, just struggling in life. Pretty much at a standstill, didn't see nothing that could go up. But, from what I heard about God, I figured what could it hurt? You know, everyone talks about how he blesses you and does this. I said, okay, well, I'm going to give him a try. You know, so I gave him a try, and you know, I did fall back, but you know, once I came in all the way, I didn't go back. So you know, everything that I was doing as a regular business or regular music, God told me after my first marriage to change over to ministry. That even includes the house that I live in, the businesses. Everything became God's. It was already his from the get-go, but, you know, I had to recognize that it belonged to him and not me.
Okay. You had to recognize everything belonged to God. Okay. So how do you come up with your lyrics? I mean, I'm looking at a song now, Gotta Get You Home Tonight. I've heard it before, but would you like to talk about that song?
Yeah. I might have something going on in my life, and you know, I always talk about it. Or it might be something in the world going on that needs to be talked about. And, you know, love is a big thing that needs to be talked about. But it was more about, and it's still God's love, but it was about that song is about a woman that's an atheist. And this is not real life. It's just pretty much like a story, a parable, so to say, a parable song is what I call it. Where she didn't know God. She didn't know that I knew God, but she met me at a event, so to say. And she fell for me. I fell for her. But she was intrigued and drawn to the way I handled business, the way I carried myself. And then later on down the line, I let her know it was God that she really saw. And the success that I had was because of God. So then, you know, once she saw that, then she came over from being an atheist and came to God. And so in the end, you know, I guess we just took off and became one. Because that's what the song is all talking about. When it says get you home, it's talking about get you home to God. Not home to like a physical house, but a spiritual house.
Okay. You mind if I play a little bit of the song?
Sure.
All right, everyone, you listen to King's Trevion. The next little tip I'm going to be playing for about a minute or two is Got to Get Your Home. Got to Get You Home Tonight. He's also on YouTube. And once this song goes off, we're going to ask him where you go to buy his CDs. All right. Got to Get You Home Tonight.
Yeah. I know you don't know God, and you don't know Christ, but over here is the good life. I know you got feelings for me,
lady.
I got a little feelings for you.
Gotta get Jesus Christ in your life.
We gotta be both equally yoked.
Baby, that's right. Once you sell him, things will be right. Here's a little toast to the good life. Out of the darkness and into the light. Nothing man can do can separate the two. God is the one and Christ is the two. I be the three, hope you can be my queen. Spreading the gospel, Christ, you and me. You in love with your feelings, but that's Christ you're feeling. Because he lives in me, no sin in me. Even though I'm a man, the men's in Japan. That's how the Father bless me. The devil tries dressing, need a woman of God. And the king's here life so she can go to war with me. That Christian swag with me. Can you imagine a life with no life? But you'll walk in the life, you'll serve Christ tonight.
Lady, gotta get Jesus Christ in your life.
Wash my feet, use your hair like Mary. I know the type of queen that God had prepared me. Better than the roof, she's a different type of breed. G5, she fly, in Christ she free. She'll be the one to raise my children in Christ and be dedicated to Christ for life. Church in the house on a Sabbath day, like Aquila and Priscilla, she's a real go-getter.
Okay, that was on Gotta Get You Home Tonight by King Stevion, the CEO of Cityside Records, which is located in Tallahassee, Florida. Okay, so that's an interesting song. It's very interesting, and it's very good, to be honest with you.
I did that one again with Flyby, and he did the singing. But another artist by the name of Gideon the Overseer helped write the chorus on that. You know, him and the rap female rap artist, Christian rap artist, Crystal Clear, we all came together and helped write the a chorus on that one for Fly By The Scene.
Okay. All right. So you're a minister, am I correct?
Yes.
So do you speak at different churches? How do you do your ministry for the listeners? Let them know.
Well, we have an online church, which most of the speaking is done right at the ministry where I'm at now. And we record it and we put it online for people to download and listen. But if we're called out to a church, we go out there and minister. And most of the times I'm led to go to different ones and speak. You know, get acquainted with the leaders there, see what they need, and just go in and speak to the congregation and even speak to the leaders of that church.
All right. You hand out Bibles or anything? You go and talk to people, you know, in malls or buses or anything like that? Or do you just strictly do it online and at different churches?
Well, we do it everywhere. We do it online, online sermons, online music, in the streets, in the churches. You know, we go to different places. We might go to a Walmart parking lot, and we'll go out. We might get donations, but at the same time, we always open to minister. That's really our purpose for being out there. If they want prayer, we give them prayer. So, you know, we go everywhere. We haven't went knocking on no one's doors yet. You know, you just got to be safe about that.
Okay. All right. So when I think of record labels and CEOs of record, I always think of California and Atlanta, even though I'm not far from Tallahassee, Florida. So I did not know Cityside Records even existed. You know, but I'm glad I know about it now. So, I guess my next question would be, where do you go now? You've accomplished a lot of things. You've got a lot done, but you've got a long life ahead of you, I believe. So what's in the future for Kingston Beyond?
Well, we're expanding into other cities and states, pretty much in every state. That would be a cityside ministry, and that's the goal. In the process, while we're doing it independently, we're going to be going, the record label is going to be going public, and the ministry pretty much owns that right now, 100% of it. But everything's still under God and owned by Him. But once we go public, then, you know, the expansion is pretty much going to go faster.
Okay. So you're going to all 50 states starting a ministry. That's a lot of work.
Yeah, it is. But, you know, that's part of the work for God. No one said it would be easy.
What would be the one thing you want people to remember about Kingston Beyond?
That he loves God and that God loves everyone. I know that. You know, personally, that's what I know. And that if they just open their heart up and turn away from sin, that you know, God'll build everything that they ever imagined. But so pretty much about me is, hey, the only thing I can say is I'm a believer. Definitely a believer in Christ and God, and you know, just trying to make a change in this world.
So you're basically non-denominational, am I right?
I don't call it that. I just believe in God. Yeah, God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit. That's it. I don't give it a name. But a Christian is a Christian.
Okay. Do you have any magazines, anything like that?
Been thinking about doing a magazine, which I started years ago, many years ago, but never finished it. But it's been kind of coming up lately. So it's not time yet, because God would have told me to go ahead and do it, but he haven't. So I'll just wait on him, and, you know, when the time is right, it'll launch.
Okay. I'm looking at your different pages, your Twitter page. You have a lot going on, a whole lot. Going on. So besides the legacy that you want people to remember you for, that you love God, what would you like to tell the young men who don't know God right now, who even older men who don't know God? What would you tell them if they were sitting in front of you?
Well, you know, I would pretty much tell them, you know, where I've been in life. Pretty much the same thing we've been talking about here, where I come from and how I got there, and, you know, what God has for all of us to do, you know. And, you know, and also talk about today, you know, what's going on in the world today. The reason why it's so bad now. But if you just, you know, get in Him and trust Him, then, you know, you'll definitely make it through it all. You know, and that's what God's Word states anyway. So.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking at your Twitter page, and it says you have 91.7K followers. That's 91 million. That's great. That is great. So you're going to the 50 states. You're spreading the gospel in the ministry, which is a wonderful thing. So you had mentioned earlier that you have kids.
Right.
So were you a young father? Now, I'm not trying to get too personal, but were you a young father?
I had my first when I was 19.
Yeah. All right. So, not trying to get too personal. It's just that there are a lot of young women having babies, you know, when they're in high school and things like that. And everybody pretty well knows what the young woman goes through. But if you're a high school student and you're a young man and a young woman becomes pregnant, what advice would you give to them as a minister now, as the minister that you are now?
Well, you know, I've been still learning, even though I've been a minister since 2007. I've learned a lot. You know, one thing I definitely learned is to first put your trust in God, believe in God, and live right. Because a lot of people say they trust in God, but they're not living right. You got to do both. You can't just do one. You know, people are like, oh, thank God. They talk to God, but the Word of God says that God don't listen to the sinner. We know that He listens to the ones that try to change their heart to come to Him, you know, and repent. But if you just think you can just go on sinning and keep talking to God and God's going to keep blessing you, it don't work like that. Because in that case, we'll all be doing it. You know, so you can't be lukewarm. That's the first thing. You got to be all in with God. And by you being in God, you'll learn God's word. The things that Christ spoke and Paul spoke, Apostle Paul spoke, about taking care of your kids. You know, in order to do God's work and be blessed, you have to take care of your household. You know, you got to train your child up in the way they should go, and they'll never depart from it. So if you're a dad and you have a son, you want to be a good example for him, knowing that you can take care of your child. And another thing, advice I would give mothers and dads, is don't let the law get involved with taking care of your kids. That's the last thing ever. I wouldn't even advise that. Because when there's a problem, like say things, the guy's not taking care of his kid financially, well, then what you do is you talk to him. If you don't want to talk, then you go to a church, whatever you're part of, and get advice from them and try to come to some kind of conclusion with the other person, you know. So, and that's part of being in God.
Okay, wonderful. So that you give us some sound advice. So now, would you like to tell people listening to the show where they can go and find your CDs or your Cityside Records CDs?
Well, if you, like I said, if you Google King Stevion or Cityside Records or Cityside Ministries, it'll come up. It'll let you know where you can get it at. But if you go to Mundundo.com, Mundundo.com, and type in Cityside Records, King Stevion, it'll pull up all the songs, and they're free to download.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to play Partition. Is that all right? Can you stay young?
Sure.
Reason for the vision, I'm on a mission to win men like fishermen, man in that plane. As time was seen, I need a new queen that respect her king and keep a castle clean. I'm teaching plain and simple, I ain't being mean. The word from the Lord still in the come between. Gossiping on the phone, I ain't with that mess. That's the way the enemy come causing that stress. And yes, I decree so you'll be blessed. That demon will flee, the ministry manifest. And then to keep your Sabbath day a holy day. Traditions of his job, you'll need it anyway. So drive around to the partition, please. They're both men and rights, they're not like Adam and Eve. And remember, name is Mr. Stevie G. In Christ, I dot my I's and cross my T's. Please, God would bless you if your life's a sneeze. You gotta get elevated, get your life on freeze. Turn away from man, cause in Christ you're free. It stood for something when I called you queen. Royalty and loyalty in the kingdom we be. About to suck it to the same like Socrates. Jesus came back, gave us the keys. And all of me recognize the type of wife I like. The type of wife I like. And we're not yoked as you see. Cause if it was, I'd take you back.
Okay, so that's Partition. Did you write that one also?
Yes, that's one of the songs that, you know, I haven't really promoted. It's not on any album, but it's one of the songs, unreleased tracks to the Trap Dive album. So we decided to release it as a single earlier this year.
Okay. So have you ever won any awards or certificates, trophies? Have you ever won one of those or been awarded an award, like a trophy?
Well, yes, we got a we won an ASCAP award in 2013. Didn't even know we was nominated, but we got an email from ASCAP, and they told us that we had won one, and they invited us out to come to their annual ceremony they usually have that goes along with it. So we was invited to both. We didn't go, but you know, we won. We didn't go pick up the award. Still have it. Just had to figure out how to get it. I never knew how those things worked, like the Grammys and all that. So, yeah, besides that and the plaques, that's, you know, that's pretty much it.
Okay. All right. Well, you have a very successful career, and, of course, you can see where God has brought you from. And I know he's probably giving you a vision, you know, to go even further with those 50 states, starting a ministry. Because people do need God. People do need religion, not necessarily religion, but God himself. You know, in the world, is in such a turmoil, there's so many people hurting. You know, there's a need at the ministry. So many people seem to have lost their way. And what you're doing is noble and wonderful, that you're trying to save souls and help people. Because like I said, people are hurting. Everybody, you know, isn't happy. Everybody's not doing well with the killings and things from the wars, different things going on in the world today. So what you're doing is a blessing to other people, not just to you.
Well, you know, you can't, it's kind of like if you have a household full of people and, you know, there's a lot of bills to be paid where everybody got to put in, you know, rather even the children in the house have to do chores around the house, you know, and do some type of work, you know. So it's all for the good in the end. But we all have something to do to contribute some good to the world today.
Okay. So are you going to be anywhere signing CDs this summer or during the fall?
We are planning the first social network tour. So it's a Twitter tour. If you notice on Twitter, they have different countries there that you can promote to. So what we're going to do is a tour like that on social network, promoting the movement pretty much of Christ. And so, you know, every day we'll go to a different country and do some type of promotions there. So that's, other than that, that's the thing that we have going on now in planning.
Okay. All right, then. So the song that you wrote for the young girls that were in Africa, that goes very deep because I imagine you're probably a father yourself. In your opinion, and do you think the parents that are suffering like that, wanting their daughter, do you think they'll ever get them back? Because you said earlier that God, you know, you talked about God. But what comfort can you give the parents right now? You're a minister.
Well, God is watching over them. You know, there have been some that then died. I think from what I heard, once they was kidnapped, going over there, there was a couple that was bit by rattlesnakes, from my understanding, and died. But, you know, you just got to have faith that they'll be safe.
Okay.
Because most of them already came back. I forgot the count of how many that are still out there kidnapped. But, you know, my prayers definitely go out to the families. And I'm trusting in God that he'll do a mighty miracle to get them all back. Because I don't believe in negotiating. I'm kind of like the United States on that one. They said they don't negotiate with terrorists. Well, we don't negotiate with Satan. And we tell them to move over, get out the way, and give me back what you stole. So.
Okay. All right. Everyone, you listen to King Stevion. He's the CEO of Cityside Records, which is located in Tallahassee, Florida. He said you could Google him and get research him. And he also said pray about it, you know, and research his company before you just jump in. So that's sound advice. Sound advice. Like I said, he owns the record label Cityside Records, and he's in Tallahassee, Florida. He said just Google King Stevion, Cityside Records. So is there anything else that you'd like to tell the people listening?
Just keep God first and, you know, always be faithful and be patient in God. And whatever you need, he'll provide.
All right. So you've got a song. He's also on YouTube, everyone. He's on YouTube. You can listen to him on YouTube like I have been doing. I'm certain he's on YouTube. Are you on Reverb Nation?
Yes, Reverb Nation, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, pretty much every social network, Instagram, some that I'm not on because I haven't got acquainted with them yet, but the sites yet. But those are the main ones.
Okay. I just have one more question, then I'm going to play this song Thug by King Stevion. It's a house under God preaching, fly by. It doesn't say, it says fly by.
Okay.
So now that you have your ministry and things and, you know, and all of those things are going well for you, what would you tell someone that was contemplating doing what you were going to do back in, I believe, 2004?
Right.
What would you tell somebody that's feeling that way, that's feeling like you felt? We both know it's Satan.
Right.
If somebody's listening to this show right now, and if you could help one person, what would you say to them?
One, I would say don't do it, because you're gonna be responsible when you go before God for doing that. You know, He said, "Thou shalt not kill." That includes yourself. You know, you kill yourself. How can you come back from that? You know, and that's that doesn't stop your problems. The main problem is going to hell, you know. So you may stop the problems here, which is all, you can solve all of them here, but you can't solve the problem going to hell. There's no way out of that. So why would you come out of one problem and go into another?
Right. What you said will probably help somebody who hears you. When you add, not this Thursday, but next Thursday on Flame on Radio, I believe somebody's going to hear that and change their mind about doing that to themselves. I have one final question. What is your opinion about the killings by the police here in the United States of America?
Well, one thing I can say is, you know, Satan's busy. It's kind of like the same thing with the, you know, the suicide. You know, you just got to think. You got to think about who you got to answer to. You know, a lot of people think, well, you know, I don't have nobody to answer to here. They might think that they might just let them off for what they've done. But what about God? You know, a lot of people say, well, you repent and you ask for forgiveness. Well, that's true. But He still say you got to give an account for what you did. You know, so
yeah.
we always got to keep that in mind. Best thing to do is don't do it. So.
Okay. All right. Well, King Stevion, thank you for coming on Show Talk with Angela Butler. I hope to have you back one day.
Okay.
The next song I'm going to play is Thug, and in King Stevion it says The House Under God and See You Fly By. So everyone, I'm going to play a little bit of it. If you can, go out and buy the songs out of CDs or download them.
Yeah. You ain't know a house like this could be under God, and the Holy Spirit can live in it. Well, it do. Best believe that's true. And it's called THUG. That's a thug. And that's how we worship him in it. Them devils in my house, well, I'm kicking them out. They carry ganja green and they be smoking high. In this house is a no flex zone. If that girl love porn, is a no sex zone. This house is a place where the Holy Ghost dwells. Resolution prostitution, so it ain't for sale. The word is to be told and not to be sold. So from this house is free, so you can sell your soul rose. The house under God is what it stands for. When it's clean for our God, he can enter even more. So in the highways and byways, we take this house and welcome the sick into it, so an infirmity's eye. They can learn to be a thug, just like me. Pink Stevion from G-O-D. The house under God is who we be. It's spelled
All right, everyone, you just got listened to Thug, which is the house under God, according to Minister Stevion. Well, time's wrapping up, everyone. So thank you for listening to Show Talk with Angela Butler. Thank you also, King Stevion, for coming on Show Talk.
Okay.
I appreciate it. All right, everyone, listen to this show next Thursday on Flame On Radio. Everyone, have a good night.